May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 236. Faith's a convincing proof, a substance sound and sure, that keeps the soul secured enough, but makes it not secure. Hymn 236.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, from the second book of Samuel, chapter 22. The second book of Samuel, chapter 22. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my saviour. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compass me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God. And he did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations of heaven moved and shook, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coals of fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice, and he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared, the foundations of the world were discovered, at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me, because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also upright before him, and have kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord hath recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness in his eyesight. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful, and with the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure, and with a froward, thou wilt show thyself unsavory, and the afflicted people thou wilt save. But thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. For who is God, save the Lord? And who is a rock, save our God? God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and destroyed them, and turned not again until I had consumed them. And I have consumed them and wounded them, that they could not arise, yea, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They looked, but there was none to save, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them as small as the dust of the earth. I did stamp them as the mire of a street, and did spread them abroad. Thou also hast delivered me from the strivings of my people. Thou hast kept me to be the head of the heathen. A people which I knew not shall serve me. Strangers shall submit themselves unto me. As soon as they hear, they shall be obedient unto me. Strangers shall fade away, and they shall be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David, and to his seed for evermore. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy and high, almighty, sovereign, eternal Lord God, who art also merciful, gracious, compassionate, pitiful, oh, who is a God like unto thee. Lord, draw us now unto thyself, as thou hast given this place for prayer. Do grant us each true hearts to pray, as we gather this night brought in from the busy scenes of life, and all of those various things that we have been dealing with this day, whether in a workplace or in a home, those things which have occupied our minds. But oh, through thy rich abundant mercy, we each are brought safely here into thine earthly courts. Lord, drive out all the buyers and the sellers, all that would intrude, all that would distract, all that would hinder. And, oh, bless us here with thy presence, to know the Lord Jesus in our midst. Oh, to know thy blessed Spirit, blowing as it were upon this garden. Oh, come and blow that gale of grace. And, oh, may there be movement. May there be life. Oh, may there be that wrought of God. Oh, may thy word come in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. And, oh, Lord, send forth thy word. Oh, do not we have thy precious promise that thy word shall not return unto thee void, but it shall accomplish that to which thou dost please, and prosper in the thing whereto thou wilt send it. And, oh, may it be our mercy this night to be found sitting at the feet of Jesus, receiving of him. Oh, what a wonderful thing if through thy dealings our hearts have been prepared. Though it may be through troubles, trials, afflictions, losses, crosses, hard things, difficulties, oh, to have that prepared heart, to receive thy word as a good ground, wherein that seed may be cast and bring forth in time, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And Lord, what a wonderful mercy if we have a spiritual appetite. Oh, we would be thankful for a natural appetite. But how much more for a spiritual appetite after the bread of heaven, the water of life. If we have come this night hungering and thirsting after righteousness, hungering after the word of God, oh, as we have been singing in our opening hymn, and, oh, Lord, could it please thee to apply thy word even upon our hearts? For where the word of a king is, there is power. O, clothe thy word with power this night. And, O Lord, thou knowest the needs of each and every one gathered, the spiritual needs, the providential needs, those who have prayed their way here this night. Those that have come with that desire, show me a token for good. That prayer, leave not my soul destitute. Or that cry, give me Christ, or else I die. Again, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Those longing for a word in due season, oh, those longing for the Good Samaritan to come right where they are. Nor they may feel to be, as it were, half dead, very wounded, in a most pitiful state. Oh Lord, oh do come to such an one, and pour in the oil and the wine, bind up the wounds, oh take complete care, so that we may prove, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, we must confess that in our troubles and trials, in the storms of life, we feel to be like those dear disciples when in that little ship upon the sea in that great storm, when the Lord Jesus was asleep, and they came to him with that lamentable cry, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And Lord, we have to confess, we also have prayed such a poor prayer. Oh, really an accusation. Lord, because we fear shipwreck. Oh, we fear being destroyed. Oh, we fear being overwhelmed by our enemies. Like the dear psalmist, the enemy have smitten my life down to the ground, as those that be long dead. Oh, come this night with thy reviving grace, restoring grace. Oh, might it be he restoreth my soul. Oh, Lord, to remember each one present, attend to each one. Bless each soul, from the youngest to the eldest. May none feel to be passed by. Oh, may none feel to be turned aside. Suit thy word unto every case, every condition. And Lord, if any have come in unconcerned, oh, might it please thee, Lord, to touch their heart, to awaken them, or to have mercy upon them. We would lovingly pray for those who would be here if they could, but for various reasons have been unable to come. Lord, remember them where they are, and bless them, we pray. Remember any who could have come, but had no desire to come, indeed did not want to come. Those who perhaps found a convenient excuse not to come. Oh, might it please thee, Lord, to touch their hearts also. Lord, remember this people, this cause of truth. And do be with them and bless them and go before them in every way. Bless the little church with peace, brotherly love, unity, harmony, bearing one another's burdens, praying one for another. Do help the officers of the church grant all needed wisdom, all needed grace. Lord, in the office that they fulfill, might it please thee, Lord, to add unto them here, both in church and in congregation, such as shall be saved. Oh, may there yet be those who shall be constrained by the love of Christ. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. Oh, what a wonderful thing when we're brought to that point to consider that thou hast done these things for our souls. O Lord, Work mightily here, we pray. May this prove yet to be the spiritual birthplace of many souls. Help thy servants who come from time to time. May they come as sent of God with that word from the Lord. And, O Lord, bless the ministry of thy word here. And remember all the little hills of Zion, the gatherings of thy dear people. Remember each of thine own true sent servants. Help, bless and strengthen each and every one. Lord, we think of those in old age, some now unable to preach, others having to cut down on their labours. And we think of those taken by death in recent times. Lord, might it please thee yet to equip, raise up, teach, instruct, and thrust forth more ministers of the gospel. O Lord, and we look to thee to appear in this and in so many, many ways. Zion is in such a low state and condition. Lord, return with mercies unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Do have mercy upon our guilty land and nation. O Lord, we are so thankful that God is in control. God upon the throne. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. All events at thy command. And O Lord, we do pray for mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. O Lord, we believe thy judgments are abroad in our land. And when we look at our rulers, our leaders, and the general state of our nation, the wickedness, the corruptions, the vanities, the idolatries, the false religions. Oh, Lord, have mercy upon us. Stem the great tide of sin. Overturn the wicked desires of evil men. And, O Lord, remember our Queen and the heirs to the throne. Have mercy upon them, we pray. We would be thankful for all thy mercies lengthened out. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh, we would be thankful for the supply of our every need. Oh, we would be thankful for thy great goodness. We would be thankful that we are out of a deserved hell. We would be thankful that we are yet upon praying ground. We would be thankful for thy precious word of truth. Lord, come now. Speak to us through thy word. Cause thy voice to be heard. Glorify thy name. Send out thy light, send out thy truth. Let them bring us, let them lead us unto thy holy hills, to thy tabernacles. And Lord, do forgive our every sin. Wash all in Jesus' precious blood. As we would ask all, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 1108. Breathe from the gentle south, O Lord, and cheer me from the north. Blow on the treasures of thy word, and call the spices forth. Hymn 1108.
the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, and from verse 1. 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 1. And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies. But really, dear friends, it is laid upon my spirit to venture to speak from the opening clause. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. Now, you may be thinking that is a most unusual text. Indeed, I felt the same. And there must be numerous this little clause throughout the Word of God. And it came to pass. But if I can venture to speak the exercise and burden upon my spirit in venturing to speak from this word, and we just look at it in the context of our text, and it came to pass when the king, now that was King David. There was a time when he wasn't king. He was just a shepherd boy near Bethlehem. And yet there came a time when he was anointed to be king by the prophet Samuel. And from that time, the word of the Lord, if you will, was upon him. There was a promise from God that one day this shepherd boy from Bethlehem would become king of Israel. And how Satan, the world, and the flesh did everything in their power to prevent the word of God from being fulfilled. But you see, Satan, the world, and the flesh can never, ever overthrow the holy word of God. And yet we might say at times, we speak reverently, they throw everything they can at it to prevent it. But, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. Now, there may be one or another here this night, and you're passing through deep waters. You may be in a fiery trial, or you may be in such a dark pathway, you just cannot see how you can get through. Or if you will, you cannot see how it can be, and it came to pass. Now, it may be a promise that you're carrying. It may be a word from the Lord. Or it may be something concerning your soul. Or it may be something concerning your pathway, your situation, your circumstances. You hope and trust and believe the Lord is in it. Oh, but there seems to be so much opposition. There seems to be so much darkness. Oh, there seems to be so much unbelief. Oh, there seems to be so many things to prevent this from happening. And it came to pass. Now, just looking again in the context of our text here as it concerns David. You think from that time when he was anointed to be king, Saul was still outwardly king over Israel. You see, the people had chosen King Saul. But God, after rejecting King Saul, had chosen David. Eliab, David's elder brother, and the others, they could not understand it. Even Samuel at first, surely this is the Lord's anointed? No. David had to be called the youngest. Or, outwardly speaking, the least likely. But no, arise, anoint him. This is he. And that time came when David went into the court of King Saul and played the harp to calm King Saul when he was troubled by that evil spirit. And then that time came when Goliath and the Philistines came out against the children of Israel. And you see, as we read in that chapter, as for God, his way is perfect. You see how the Lord would have David go forth to that battle scene in the valley. And you've been singing concerning faith. Well, if ever there was one so blessed with living, we might say, lively faith, surely we find it in David at that time. You see, all the children of Israel were looking at the Philistines, and in particular, they were looking at Goliath. They were looking at his stature. They were looking at his strength. They were looking at his power. And yes, he was a most formidable person of great size, a giant, and they all feared to go before him. They thought surely they would be slain. But along comes David. And David comes with that experience wherein he could say unto the Lord, thou hast been my help. Because there was that time when David had to defend the sheep and lambs from the lion, as well as from the bear, and he had proved the Lord to be his help. And he saw these uncircumcised Philistines as the enemies of the Lord, and he could see the battle was not his, but the Lord's. And he would go forth in the strength of the Lord God. He could put no trust into anything fleshly, anything carnal, anything natural. His whole trust was in the Lord, his God. Now, outwardly speaking, what an opportunity for Satan. What an opportunity for the world. What an opportunity for unbelief. I want to speak reverently, but how many of those children of Israel, those mighty men of war in that army, might have accused David of being such a mad fool in going forth against that giant Goliath? But you see, David went forth in faith, looking unto Jesus, casting all his care upon him. I believe David had that single eye to the Lord's honour and to the Lord's glory. And he went forth full of faith, doubting nothing. Oh, I believe he knew the Lord would grant him the victory. Oh, David did not seek to do great things for himself, to get a great name for himself, nor to receive the rewards that were offered. No, I believe David went forth seeking the Lord's honour and glory in it all. But how could he prevail? Because I believe David knew, with Christ which strengtheneth me, I can do all things and abound. I believe perhaps by experience David knew the opposite. Without me, ye can do nothing. And he went forth in utter dependence upon the Lord. I'm sure he prayed his way down to that valley. Lord, help me. And the Lord did help him. Yes, David may have had a natural gift at slinging the stone. But you see, even in this, as for God, his way is perfect. That one point in the whole armour of that giant, where there was a way for the stone to virtually knock him out, the Lord directed it. And the Lord gained the victory. All honour and glory unto God. And it came to pass. No, not this giant Goliath. No, not all the Philistines' army. No, not all the unbelief of the children of Israel will prevent the Lord when he has a work to do. And it came to pass. Well, soon after that, as you know, King Saul became jealous. And isn't it true that jealousy is as cruel as a grave? And in his jealousy, envy, and hatred, Now King Saul turns upon David. And David had to flee for his life. David had to flee to Cave Adullam. David had to flee to the woods. David had to flee to the mountains. Oh, David had to flee whithersoever at times. And here we would not sound judgmental, but almost foolishly he fled to the Philistines to protect him. At one time when David was very, very low, very, very tried, he cried out, "One day I shall fall by the hand of Saul." He just could not see how it could come to pass that one day he must become king, especially at that time of Ziklag. If ever there was a low point in the life of David, it must have been at Ziklag. But what do we read? "And David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." David knew the Lord would protect him. David knew the Lord would keep him. David knew the Lord would help him. But do you know what it is like, though, to believe in these things, for your faith to be so tried that in a similar way you say, "One day I shall fall by the hand of Saul. One day I shall not endure unto the end. One day I shall make shipwreck of faith. One day Satan will destroy me. One day the world will overcome me. Or one day unbelief would so overwhelm me in that sense as it did the children of Israel," which we read in Hebrews, seeing then that they could not enter in because of their unbelief. Or do you know what it is to be so tried, so sorely, sorely tried, and you just cannot see how it can be for it to come to pass? So often it's looking back. Now we see this twofold. First of all, we see it in the recorder or the scribe that was used by the Lord in the literal writing of the Word of God. There would have been a scribe or recorder who would have actually written these things down. And of course it would have been in looking back. The events had happened. So there was that looking back to those things in which the Lord had done for his dear people. But then secondly, and often we think of this in the chapter we read, the 22nd chapter, I believe also Psalm 18, when David also could look back. And in looking back, he could see how the Lord had been with him, how the Lord had defended him, protected him, and kept him. In the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies, and out of the hand of Saul. Oh, there was a day when perhaps David feared that he would not be delivered, either out of the hand of his enemies or out of the hand of Saul. Oh, but he speaks, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer." And he goes on, "I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. Ah, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. In him alone will I trust." And it came to pass. And it came to pass. Permit me to give you one more example. And we think of Joseph and those dreams that he had. which he received as the word of God. I won't go into detail, you all know the account. And so often we think of Joseph sitting in that prison, perhaps pondering his pathway and all the things that had happened to him. Now, I want you to understand me, but in one sense, if he hadn't had that word from the Lord, then there wouldn't have been that word of the Lord which tried him. We read in Psalm 105, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. And in that sense, Joseph might have put these things down to such and such happening to him. There would have been so many whys in his life, why his father sent him off to find his brethren, why they should sell him to the Ishmaelites and Midianites, and why they should take him to Egypt and brought to Potiphar and Potiphar's wife's false accusation and so on. I'm sure Joseph couldn't understand anything, but what must have made it so much more painful and trying was the word of God. Because at that time, and remember, we all know the end of these things throughout the scriptures, where we read through the experience and pathway, troubles and trials of all the Lord's dear people. You think of Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, in that burning fiery fire. We know how they were delivered. But to consider them at that time, in that situation, and remember, these mentioned were men of God, men of prayer, men of faith. But there they were, the trial of their faith, being exceedingly tried by the word of God. And we wonder, as Joseph sat in that dark prison, he just couldn't understand anything at all. Nothing made sense. I don't know, perhaps there's one here tonight. And in what you're passing through, it is being so tried, you cannot understand anything. I will just mention this at this venture as the Lord brings it to mind. We read that beautiful psalm, or Psalm 18, which is the same as 2 Samuel 22. A psalm of praise, a psalm of thanksgiving, a psalm when David is full of praise and thankfulness for all that the Lord had done for him, strong in faith. Let me read you Psalm 13. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. You see how David there was in such a low place. The enemy seemed to be prevailing over him. He felt the Lord was hiding his face from him. Or do you know what it is for the Lord to hide his face? I'm sure you'll only really appreciate that if you've known times when the Lord has been pleased to lift up the light of his countenance, when the Lord has been pleased to smile upon you, or like the dear disciples on that resurrection day, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. But oh, when the Lord hides his face. Again, was it not the psalmist who said, hide not thy face far from me? Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Oh, what a dark, trying pathway it is when the Lord hides his face. And the greatest exercise and burden and desire of a living soul is for the Lord to appear, the Lord to shine forth, the Lord to turn again our captivity, or the Lord to undertake. And it came to pass. So we return briefly to Joseph. And to him it must have seemed absolutely impossible for the Word of God, the promise of the Most High, to be fulfilled. It couldn't see any escape, any deliverance. It tried to put some trust into the butler, but the butler forgot Joseph at that time. And I believe Joseph was left in that sense to look to the Lord alone. In that sense, it was completely out of his hands. Nothing he could do but pray. And I believe the Lord leads his people into such pathways where we're stripped of all self-confidence and self-trust, where it's impossible for us to put our hand to anything, where there's no arm of flesh to lean upon, no man to look to. We're humbled under the mighty hand of God. We're brought very, very, very low. We prove that the ways of the Lord are past finding out. We prove also the word of the Lord is tried. But oh, to prove he is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Trust in him alone. Oh, to trust in him at all times. Yea, to pour out our hearts before him. Ah, did not the Lord Jesus speak to his disciples? Really a loving reproof when they could not cast out that devil from that young lad. And the Lord Jesus said, this kind cometh forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. Sometimes I wonder if we underestimate the power of prayer. The power of prayer. Now consider two promises the Lord Jesus gave to his people, his disciples, before he ascended into heaven. You read of it in Matthew 28. Firstly, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power. Now, Satan is powerful. The world is powerful. The flesh, unbelief, powerful. But all power is given unto him. Omnipotent power. Almighty power. I like what a hymn writer says. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. And sometimes the Lord has to wait long to answer prayer because we're so slack in praying. We can be so full of unbelief and doubts and fears and limit the Lord. Oh, do not we pray, Lord, increase our faith because we're so full of unbelief. Oh, that the Lord might scatter all our unbelief and bid us look to him, bid us trust in him, and bid us wait upon him. And it came to pass. So that's the first wonderful promise the Lord gave. And then also this wonderful promise. And lo, I am with you always. I am with you alway, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Now, we've mentioned already those times when the Lord is pleased to hide his face. At times to stain our pride. At times to bring us low. At times to humble us and empty us. But the Lord from time to time is pleased to hide his face. But it doesn't mean to say he's left them. He's forsaken them. He's forgotten them. But how often a child of God, passing through this waste howling wilderness, this narrow way which leadeth unto life, feels to be forgotten, feels to be forsaken. And is it not often because we feel our prayers haven't been answered? And we fear perhaps our prayers haven't been heard? And we wonder if we have prayed at all, if there's been any prayer within our prayers. But does it not bring us to much self-examination, to much searching of heart, to much humbling ourselves before the Lord, much begging of him to teach us to pray aright, or much begging of the Spirit to make intercession with those groanings which cannot be uttered? Oh, much looking to the Lord to direct us and teach us, for who teacheth like him? By these things men live. By these things men live. We mention from time to time, I believe one of the greatest trials to a child of God is unanswered prayer. And perhaps one of the greatest encouragements is answered prayer. Now, when the Lord appears. And you see how the Lord appeared for David. You see also how the Lord appeared for Joseph in a most remarkable way. A way perhaps they'd never thought of. But he led them forth by the right way. Again, as for God, his way is perfect. And it came to pass. And it came to pass. And yet how often in our pathways we feel to be so hedged up. I think there's lines of a hymn on that narrow way. Perplexed and at a loss. Oh, how often we feel to be there. Perplexed. We can't understand these things. Everything seems to be confusion. The enemy seems to be prevailing over us. And at a loss. Oh, I believe Jehoshaphat was there. Again on a battlefield, greatly outnumbered by the enemies. And neither know we what to do. Are you there tonight, dear friend? And neither know we what to do. I suppose at times a worldling comes there also. Comes to their wit's end. And neither know we what to do. But the child of God does not stop there like the worldling. The child of God, like Jehoshaphat, will go on to cry, but our eyes are upon thee. You see, it's prayer. You see, it's trusting in God. You see, it's looking to him alone. Or it being brought to his wit's end, neither know we what to do. We cannot do this, we cannot do that, we cannot do the other. What can we do? What do these feeble Jews? These feeble Jews pray. That the Lord has given the throne of grace. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. How often are we found fainting rather than praying? You see, men ought always to pray. If we're honest, how many times do we neglect the throne of grace? How many times, if you will, do we faint? Just comes to mind concerning Jacob when that news came from his brethren, Joseph is yet alive. And we read of Jacob's heart's fainting. And that doesn't mean that he passed out as we would understand it. But what it means is that he was absolutely stunned. Absolutely stunned. He just couldn't receive it. He couldn't believe it. How could it be? Well, in a different sense, sometimes we might be stunned by events in our lives. Again, in a different sense, we can be stunned by Satan, preventing us, seeking to overwhelm us and in his powerful temptations. We can be stunned by the ways of the world. And also we can be stunned by our unbelief. A belief that is a besetting sin of every child of God. Or unbelief. It's the opposite of faith. Whenever a child of God prays, faith is in exercise. Whenever there is that looking to the Lord, faith is in exercise. Yes, even the feeblest soul who is found venturing nigh unto God to call upon him is blessed with that living faith. But you see, unbelief, how it would prevent us, how it would stop us, how it might suggest to us that this could be done, that could be done, or there's no need to pray, or you haven't got time to pray. And it came to pass, this kind cometh forth, but by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. See, fasting in that sense of that withholding from everything else. Not trusting in anything else at all, but in the Lord. So prayer and fasting. Really, it's bow down sense and reason. Now, the world prosper upon sense and reason. They have to reason everything else out. You remember those two disciples on the road to Emmaus? They were communing and reasoning together, but they couldn't work anything out. Nothing made sense. Until Jesus himself drew near and went with them and expounded unto them the word of God. And it came to pass. Did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us in the way and opened to us the scriptures? And it came to pass. Now, I believe it's a pathway of a child of God. As long as they live, should Christians pray. For only while they live, they pray, they live. You see, the two go together. That life in the soul, that prayer from the heart, in every trouble, every trial, every difficulty, every loss, every cross, every burden, every care, take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And it came to pass, I'm sure in Cave Adullam, and wherever David was to flee from the hand of Saul, how much time David spent in prayer. Praying as he went around. Again, we might think of Joseph in the prison house. How much time spent in prayer. And it came to pass. You remember we read of Hezekiah the king, when he was in great sickness and much pain and agony, and the Lord sent his prophet Isaiah unto him, and how Isaiah spoke to him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And we read of Hezekiah turning his face unto the wall and pouring out that
prayer unto God.
Now, I personally believe it wasn't just for his own ends that he sought to get better. Because if you compare scripture with scripture, you will notice at that time he was without seed. He had no son. And Hezekiah was part of that royal lineage coming from Adam, Abraham, through to David, from which the Messiah must be born. And the thought of Hezekiah, who believed in God, who believed in the Messiah, who would have been found by faith looking unto Jesus, oh, seeing such a most solemn situation. You see, he received that message from the Word of God that he was going to die. Oh, how he begged of the Lord to appear. Oh, did not he pray, "Oh Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. I have heard his prayer. I have seen his tears. I will add unto his life 15 years. I think you notice Manasseh, when he came to the throne, was 12 years old. And it came to pass. Now that leads me to another thought. And it came to pass, the promised Messiah. And you think of those Old Testament saints who walked by faith. You read of them in Hebrews 11. Believing that Messiah would come. There was that looking forward unto the Messiah coming. And yet from time to time, when the children of Israel were minished and brought very, very low, when their enemies prevailed against them, how their faith would have been so tried, so troubled, when they were taken into captivity. Oh, how could it come to pass? Oh, when they suffered such difficulties and such troubles, how could it come to pass? Well, because it's a word of God. And the word of God must be fulfilled. Oh, we have a beautiful verse in one of our hymns speaking concerning these things. And remember, it all must rest upon the word of God. What Christ has said must be fulfilled. On this firm rock believers build. His word shall stand, his truth prevail, and not one jot or tittle fail. And though there were those few hundred years of silence from the prophecy of Malachi until the coming of the Lord Jesus, and you see through that royal lineage, you think of Solomon and all his wealth and all his power and glory. Through to the time of the captivity, Jehoiakim and Zechariah and so on. And now Joseph and Mary, all in such poverty. And it came to pass. It came to pass. How the word of the Lord by the ministry of angels came to Joseph and to Mary. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And we think of that wonderful night when Christ was born. We think of that revelation to the shepherds. Then a little later to the wise men. We think of Simeon. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for thine eyes have seen my salvation, and Anna the prophetess also. And it came to pass. What Christ has said. So, there may be one or another carrying a promise, a word from the Lord, but oh, it seems to be so tried. And how important it is that we're not left like some in religion who misapply the word of God unto themselves. There are actually those who believe that you have all the promises in Scripture, they're there before you, and you just believe them. You take them to yourself, you apply them upon yourself. Or they wouldn't have anything of these doubts and fears and so on. They always seem to be full of faith. But ye have not so learned Christ. That is, if ye have been taught by him the truth as it is in Jesus, for the word of the Lord is tried. The Lord by his Spirit applies his word. And all to receive that word from the Lord, thou hast said, but oh, in the trial of it, when you cannot see how the promise can be fulfilled, you think of the prodigal son, but more of his father, who had to watch his young son go off into that far off country. And I believe each day he went forth looking out over those same fields, towards that spot where he last saw his son, in humble hopes and perhaps expectation that that son would yet return. Who can tell? And it came to pass. Perhaps all of us here tonight have what we might term prodigals, whether they be siblings, children, grandchildren, loved ones, friends, perhaps brought up under the truth, and yet have gone off into the world as far from God as sheep can run. And it seems perhaps at present absolutely impossible that they can be brought back. Absolutely impossible. They're having their fill of the world. Oh, how could it ever come to pass that they can be brought back? Like that prodigal, broken-hearted, humbled, emptied, stripped, taught of God. Who can tell? Who can remember the power of prayer? For these things I will be inquired of, O house of Israel, to do it unto you. The power of prayer. Oh, may we not be left to fatalism. Nothing I can do about it. Oh, I really do not like to hear that saying amongst the Lord's dear people. And I do hear it from time to time. Nothing I can do. Can you not try and pray? Can you not try and cry unto God? I remember many years ago having contact with one in another country, and he mentioned in correspondence that he wouldn't even attempt to pray unless he felt the Spirit coming upon him. Fatalism. Absolute fatalism. You think of Peter sinking in that water. He didn't wait for the Spirit to come upon him before he tried to pray. Immediately he cried out, Lord, save me. Oh, he was in such a situation. And I believe a godly here tonight have known times when perhaps morning and evening prayer, when we would pray, and perhaps we're felt to be so cold, so barren, so hard-hearted, it almost seems an absolute effort to try and pray. But then the Lord breaks in. And that spirit of prayer is given. That softened heart. Or wherein one can draw nigh unto God and feel that communion, feel that nearness, and implore upon God to appear. And it came to pass. So whatever it may be, whether it's spiritual, whether it's providential, dear friend, if it is of the Lord, and perhaps there may be much heart searching to know that it is from the Lord. Again, we think of that prayer of the psalmist, remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. For this is my comfort in mine affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Oh, pleading the promises of God. Oh, pleading the word of God. Oh, pleading what he has said. My soul, take courage from the Lord. Believe and plead his holy word. To him alone do thou complain, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. And it came to pass. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Jim Ince will preach next Lord's Day in the evening, and Mr. Wheatley at our anniversary services on Monday. Let us close with hymn number 400. Lord, afford a spring to me. Let me feel like what I see. Ah, my winter has been long, chilled my hopes and stopped my song. Winter threatens to destroy faith and love and every joy. If thy life was in the root, still I could not yield thee fruit. Hymn number 400. And
may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.